Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests, discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it. Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. We have a lot to cover today, so let's start off by getting into our CD of today. It's from the great Quincy Jones, or Q as he is known, the CD, Q's Juke Joint. Here is Juke Joint Intro, followed by Let the Good Times Roll, followed by Cool Joe, Mean Joe, and Killer Joe. Here we go.
Funk of this juke joint.
Yeah, I got an idea. What do you mean?
Can I get it?
Oh, no, don't try it, honey. I better put my foot where your butt's feeling.
Excuse me, baby girl.
Oh, no, honey, you ain't never something with it.
That's hard.
You.
You.
Gotta do.
Hey, everybody,
And when you're dead, you're done. So let the good time roll. Yeah, let the good time roll. I don't care if you're young or old. I want to get together and let the good time roll.
Don't sit there mumbling, talking trash. You want to have a ball, you're going to lose some cash. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. You're young or old.
Oh, no.
Sugar, let the good times roll.
Quack, quack.
Kick that shit. Yeah. This is how we do it. Just lounging back, cooling out. And here cooling out with my girl, Queen Latifah. You know what I'm saying?
Hi, what's up, Tom?
Oh, baby, you know, I'm just cooling. How you doing?
So, oh, love.
Yeah, well, why don't we just kick it? Why don't we break out of here? Going over to Q's Juke Joint. Party down.
Juke Joint. Nah, you know I ain't used to falling up in places like that. That type of girl.
Yeah.
What's going on down there?
Girl, don't you know who's gonna be there tonight?
Thank you. know that, cause I show that when he come home every time. And he ain't no good, and I know I should let him go when it go. But no, that's my killer Joe. You can't have him no more. The way he walk and talk and spit the game, the way he says his name, Killer Joe.
Killer Joe, baby.
Cool Joe. Mean Joe. Cool Joe.
Shuggy Duggy, quack, quack.
Well, love him so.
Coming down here tonight, baby.
Oh, that starts us off. And now we're back to talk about your money. Now, I want to introduce you to a man with the money plan, our financial planner extraordinaire, Mr. Jasper Smith. Jasper, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Will you give us an idea of what you do and the company you do it for?
Yeah, no problem. So I like to express to people that I'm kind of a financial concierge of sorts, and one of the hats that I wear is the president of a volunteer-based nonprofit, and it's called the Urban Financial Services Coalition. And what I've realized just in my time in financial services as a business that it's kind of all-encompassing. I think a lot of people have varying needs. And so when you look at, you know, financial planning in totality, there's credit things, there's debt management, there's budgeting, insurance, investments, retirement, college planning, estate planning, there's real estate stuff, you name it. Financial planning encompasses a lot. And so what I try to do for most people that I interact with is figuring out what's most important to you, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and let me determine whether I'm the resource that you need or do you need somebody else, you know, one of my partners that I can connect you with.
Okay. All right. I think you just sort of gave us a short synopsis of why financial planning is important for the average man or woman. But just in case, why do you think, the average man or woman in the street need to make sure they have a financial plan?
Well, you know, Cody, they always say that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a stigma around financial planning in general. And so even, you know, I've talked to people, they say, well, I don't make enough money to need a planner, or, you know, financial planners are only for the wealthy people, which is totally false. I think most of us need to really just take an inventory to see where we are today and maximize the income or incomes that you currently have to help you achieve those goals. And so most people generally are just working to pay their bills. You know, we've all heard that phrase before, pay yourself first, but most people don't. You know, they pay everybody else and then hope that they have some money left over, or a lot of times we don't have money left over. And so I find it a little disturbing that many of us are working just to pay our bills, and we're okay with that, which I'm not.
Okay, all right. And what are some of the obstacles people run into trying to establish a financial plan?
The biggest one is just where to get started. I mean, majority of the people who I sit down with, Cody, is really, well, I just don't know what to do. And really, I just always take a step back and just, you know, again, what is it that you want to get done from a financial standpoint? And most people haven't really sat down and I would say write these things down. We think about all the things we should do, but until you really start to voice your opinion with somebody else and you start to write things down, you know, that's how you start the process. You know, the other hurdle has been people just don't know who to go to for advice. And, you know, part of the work that I do with the Urban Financial Services Coalition is connecting people to those folks who can provide that advice. Now, granted, every professional isn't created equally, but I think there isn't a shortage of financial services professionals in this country. And it's just a matter of us being willing to ask for the help or seek it out. I mean, there's the internet, there's the phone, you know, there's probably somebody in your family or your immediate network who has a financial planner or a financial services professional of some sort, and it's just being bold enough to ask, you know, to help, to meet them, to see what it is that they can do.
Okay, and to follow that up, what are some of the most expedient steps to take in establishing such a plan?
The biggest one, you got to write them down, Codis. You have to think about, I would say, your top three financial priorities. I mean, granted, we all have a list, but, you know, I need you not to carry about 9 and 10 until you've taken care of number 1 and number 2. You know, the problem is we haven't written them down. So we know that we have all 10 of these items, but there's no clarity around it. And so if you just start to write down those goals, you know, then you can channel all of your energies into taking care of those matters. And then you start just, you know, checking off that list. But most people haven't created the list.
Okay. Maybe we need to remind people of the rewards from advanced planning. What do you think some of that would, you know, some people would relate to that, or those type of ideas?
Yeah, the biggest one, you'll sleep a lot better at night knowing that you've taken care of business.
Oh, yeah.
That's what most people say. You know. I think that's the biggest reward. The other one, I would say, whether you're a single individual and you have, you know, goals for your career and for your life, you know, when you have a family, I think that's the most rewarding part. And I've talked to some of my family members about this. And the ones who have really taken planning seriously, life is just different for you. You know, you have this whole different outlook on your entire life. And the interesting thing is that if you're doing it and you're handing down those same skill sets and those, you know, you're having that conversation about, you know, the finances, you know, the next generation becomes, you know, aware of this language of money, because it is a language that most people don't understand. And so you continue to pass down that information. And that's how you create these families where you see generation after generation never seeming to struggle. But, you know, that's a big reward. If I know, you know, two or three or four, you know, ways down the line, you know, somebody remembers, you know, good old Jasper Smith and all the great things he did for the family. But a lot of us don't, they don't have that experience, so they don't do it.
Okay. Well, that sort of covers the average person, but what about the entrepreneur who is trying to start some kind of business or thinking of starting a business?
Yeah, totally different ballgame to some degree. I mean, the part about being an entrepreneur is, you know, there isn't that guaranteed paycheck. And, you know, really when you're thinking about launching a business, it's really about making sure you have the means to survive while you're growing your business. That's usually the biggest concern, you know, once you do get started. And then once you, you know, have that success, again, how do you manage it, right? Do you reinvest into your business? Do you take care, you know, of your personal and family needs? And so, you know, being an entrepreneur, you're kind of playing in two different ball games. You know, I've been in touch with some business owners where, from a business standpoint, Codis, I mean, the financials are tight, things are checked off the list, and then you ask them about their personal financial plan, it's all over the place. It's totally disconnected. And so, you know, but when you're playing in both worlds, you really have to do a good job of trying to manage both.
Oh, yeah. I can see where that would be important. You know, and a lot of times, you know, when a person is getting into business, the first thing they hear is you got to write a business plan. So what's the difference between a financial plan and a business plan for an entrepreneur?
I don't think there's a huge difference per se. I mean, you know, the outline is kind of similar, right? From a business standpoint, you have to know, okay, why am I even in business? You know, you have to look at the competition. You have to look at, you know, they call it a SWOT analysis, right? What are my strengths by opening this business? Where are my weaknesses? Where are my opportunities? And what are my threats? You know, from a financial plan, it's similar to some degree where you're kind of listing, okay, here are the goals that I want to achieve, but now who do I go to for the particular service or product that I need? You know, how much do I do into a particular vehicle? You know, where do I go to get more education about these vehicles? And, of course, you need to make a decision about which financial vehicle you utilize. So similar in nature, it's still, you know, I think the planning is the big word there, is that there's got to be a framework, there has to be a system in place for it, you know, for you to make it happen.
Yeah. I just, you know, a lot of times we know that, you know, we hear of, at least on in the old days, and sometimes even today, we hear people, well, yeah, I'm going to get this business. I'm going to open up this here store on the corner and this, that, and the other. Well, you got some kind of plan? Well, no, I'm just going to take some money I've been saving, and, you know. And what do you think the obvious benefits from having a plan for the entrepreneur is? I mean, both plans, obviously, the financial plan and the business plan, which is probably one and the same but sort of different in some aspects.
Right. The biggest play, when you have a plan in place, it's very easy to track and monitor your progress. And I think that's the biggest part of having a plan. You know, for example, I'm a runner. And so I looked at when I was just kind of running haphazardly, it was great that I was logging the miles, but you know, somebody would always ask, well, how many miles did you run? I don't know. I ran for an hour or I ran for 20 minutes. And so, you know, once I started to track my runs, it was now I have a kind of a story to tell. Well, here's where I started. You know, I always wasn't a great runner. You know, I could run this time at this pace, and it helps you to kind of grow a little bit. You know, so I've become a better runner with time. But had I just been staying on my program of just running just because, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, achieved some of my running goals that I've set for myself. So it ends up being this template to allow you to say, hey, am I still in line with what I initially wanted to do? Do I need to make some alterations? And, of course, it's always good to celebrate your victories, you know, when you're doing a plan. And it's kind of cool to see your progress where you started out at one point and now you've grown tremendously, whether it's with your business or, you know, you see your account values going up tremendously. It just tells your story. And I think that's the best part about having a plan in place. It gives you, you know, somewhere to start from.
Okay. All right, Jasper, I'm going to let you take a breath here while we take a musical break. You've given us some valuable information already, but just catch your breath a minute.
All right.
We're going to play another cut from Q's Juke Joint. This one is entitled Rock With You, with Brandy on the lead, accompanied by the late rapper Heavy D. So here's Rock With You from Q's Juke Joint.
Bring the funk, Q. Big Heavy in the house, I'm saying for the 9 pounds. Yeah, get down. Talk about it, huh? Check this out, original. Keep it going and you don't stop. Love the way we do the hip hop. Oh, yeah. Like this. Check it. Hey, yo, rock you, I got you. True that, now who that, where you at?
Right.
I knew that. Did you join the new point for funk fellas? Stellar brothers, R&B and rap fanaticals, acrobaticals, individuals, smooth criminals, overweight, lovable, huggable, snuggable, deep, that's me. H to the E to the A to the V to the Y, brandy, sweet like candy, get fly.
Boy, close your eyes, let that rhythm get into you.
Make moves with smooth dudes like you. Attract fly honeys with exotic views and money. I can make a hotter expedite. I stay dipped freshly, so don't catch me. You go 1, 2, 3, have these in the house, and I'm out.
I just happen to like to say poems. Anyway, taking into account both the family and the entrepreneur plan, should both contain poems, which stands for plan of action and milestone?
Yes, they should, of course. I mean, a plan is great, but if you don't have a plan of action, you know, it was all for naught. I mean, there are a lot of good people who they always say, well, I got this great idea and I'm thinking about doing this and I want to do this. And it's just, so what are we going to do? And you got to have that plan of action, you know, to know, okay, as soon as we write it down, let's get moving. And then, of course, again, the milestone piece, you definitely want to have those because that's going to be your motivator because, you know, something's going to happen to knock you off track. And it's knowing that, hey, if we reach this milestone, that means we've accomplished, you know, a number of things that we laid out in the beginning, and it'll keep you juiced up. And so once you hit one milestone, you know, you set another and another and another, and then it just becomes the way of your life of having these plans and knocking things out.
I hear you. Well, I know that you've been pretty successful in what you do, so you must have a success story for us. You got one off the top of your head?
Yeah. Actually, there was one of my clients who we first met was, you know, making good money, but just not quite sure what to do when it came to retirement planning. And, you know, one of the things I asked was, you know, typical, hey, how long do you want to work? You know, where do you see yourself living? You know, kind of the run-of-the-mill questions that people are going to ask because we're kind of doing the, you know, the fact-finding process. And I simply said, hey, look, based off what you just told me, here's a simple plan. The plan was just getting her to contribute on a monthly basis, Curtis. Nothing more, keeping it simple. And so fast forward 3 years, where we were doing our update, we're having lunch, and she pretty much said, you know what, had I not met with you, I wouldn't have anything in my retirement account. And you made it seem so simple, and the fact that it was so simple, she kept doing it. Now, mind you, along those 3 years, we had some little bumps in the road, but I said, again, what was the initial goal? And to see her, you know, just grow and develop into this, like, financial wizard was amazing because everything, you know, she, I got a question about this. You know, what do you think about this? I was like, no. You know, let's stick to our plan. Don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing because your plan needs to be unique to you. And I try to stress that with everybody that I talk to is that it doesn't matter what your friends and your coworkers and everybody else is doing. If it's not aligned with what you want to do and accomplish, you don't need to be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that sort of brings to mind we all have excess money, although we don't think so. And in actuality, we may not, but there is a little expended income, I guess you could call it, that we can save if it's nothing but $5, $10, $15 a pay period or whatever. You want to talk about that a minute?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing, too, about this is I hear a lot of people, and I do a lot of workshops, too, in the community, and people always say, you know, I feel like I'm living check to check. And I'm like, prove it to me. Because until you can prove it, it feels like you're in a crunch. But I need you to show me that you're actually in a crunch. Because I know that if we sat down and took, I would say, 30 minutes tops, we'll find some extra money in your spending habits or within your budget or your spending plan. Like, we'll find the extra money there. And to your point, I love it, is that $1 saved is better than $0. And people always feel like, well, I have to save, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars. And it's like, no, until you can save that $1 or the $20, I need you not to worry about saving the thousands just yet. But again, that could be one of those milestones that we set, right? Hey, at some point, if I can, you know, work some things out, I should be able to do $1,000 a month. But for right now, let me focus on the $20. And it can be just as simple as every time, you know, you had a $20 bill at the beginning of the month, just put it in a jar or put it in a bank account, put it somewhere. And so every month that goes by, all you're going to do is start to see those 20 stack up. And then you're going to get excited because now you've proven to yourself that you can do it, and that's where it gets good, Codis. Then they start getting that, oh, what else can I do? Ooh, can I save some more? And you get that momentum, and once you get that momentum, it's just, it won't stop. And granted, life is going to happen. Things could, you know, you could get knocked off course, but overall, when people see the results of their actions, they become addicted to it. It's like, you know, successful people always find success. Because they're addicted to it. They plan for it, they make it happen, and then something else pops up and they do it all over again.
Exactly. Well, what is it that we haven't asked you, you feel that one would need to take into account in establishing either plan?
Repeat that one again for me.
Something that we haven't covered. Or a question I haven't asked you that you think, well, maybe people need to think about this too when they're thinking about establishing an entrepreneur or a personal plan.
Yeah, the one topic is credit. I think for all of us, whether entrepreneurs, just, you know, or employees, we need to, one, understand how our credit system works. And then from there, taking a look at all of our credit reports, that's been the most disturbing thing to me, is that a lot of people don't understand how our system works, like how credit comes about, what makes it up, what's good, what's bad. I mean, there are a ton of resources out there. Actually, one of the hats that I wear is I actually do credit counseling for another nonprofit, Operation Hope. And we do a monthly credit workshop, Codis, and it's free. Mm. But it's tough to get people to come to free stuff. It's unreal. This credit is so important. Yet people don't, you know, yeah, we get people here and there, but I would love to have that room, you know, I would love to fill that room to capacity every single month that we do that workshop. Because there's so many people that just don't understand credit and haven't checked their credit reports, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. And where is that workshop, and when is it held? Maybe you want to announce that now.
Yeah, so with Operation Hope, and we are over in the Fruitvale neighborhood in Oakland, and so you can actually look us up online at www.operationhope.org, and I'm located at the one in Oakland, California, but for listeners everywhere, if you go to the the operationhope.org main site, you can look at the different locations we have throughout the world. And, you know, just a great resource and great information. And, again, the workshops that Hope puts on are free. And I do a lot of free workshops through the Urban Financial Services Coalition. We bring in experts on an array of topics. I think part of it is knowing these resources do exist and these people are actually trying to help. I think the next question is, you know, if we need to come out and do a talk, let's schedule it. I mean, there are church organizations, there are social organizations. I mean, there are just all these people who are getting – together to have a good time, to do volunteer work, to do community things. But there needs to be just a mad push to to get us to talk about finances. And it doesn't, I don't care what topic it is, we got to talk about it. It's a taboo thing to do in this country, but until we get to that point and begin to have a real conversation, a real dialogue about our finances, about money, about wealth and all of this stuff, I don't think we're going to see a lot of change. But until, you know, we can do that, we're going to be in a tough spot.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, can you do you have any other contact information that you can give us so people can call you directly or email you or something like that?
Yeah, so I always love to give out my personal information because it's going to be with me forever. So I'm always willing to help however I can see fit, and whether you're local, across the country, I mean, I'm always willing to be a resource for people. So, you know, I always give people, my phone number is area code 925-364-4669, and my email address is my full name, which is Jasper Smith, and then the number 30@yahoo.com, so that's JASPERSMITH, the number 3, the number 0, @yahoo.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, so you can find me on social media as well. But however I can be of service to people is really my whole angle, CODIS. And so if they need me, you know, I can be a resource. And if I don't know the answer or that's not in my wheelhouse, granted, I have a lot of people that I'm willing to connect you with to figure out what it is that you need and get you to the proper expert.
Oh, you've been a valuable guest today, because you've given us some information to think about here and some good pointers. I want to thank you, Jasper, for giving our audience a great way to set up their finances, and I want to make sure that you come back and visit us now that we finally got together. We had a misstep, which was my fault last show, but I want to make sure we get you back, because obviously you've got something to provide to the community that the community really needs.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for having me. And again, you know, if we can schedule it out, I'm always willing to give my time to try to help somebody. You know, as long as I help one person, I did my job. So hopefully some of the listeners, maybe somebody takes heed, they hit me up, or, you know, maybe somebody even goes to talk to somebody else as a result of just hearing this conversation, and that lets me know that I did my job.
Exactly. All right. You a man after my own means. All right, thank you, Jasper Smith, and you have a good day, and enjoy yourself.
All right, you too, Cody.
In touch. All right, then.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
All right, this program is brought to you by Ham's Corner of America's parent company, the Chia Group. You can check us out at http://hcofa.net, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp. It's a compilation of my blogs and articles from 1999 through 2014 with other surprises. The Episodic Thoughts of Hamp is available worldwide in paperback and ebook formats at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and the United Kingdom's iAuthor book site at www.iauthor.uk.com. For you Apple users, the book is available in an iPad, iPhone format at your Apple Internet distributors. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at https://, Katara Rhythm, Tara Rhythm, which is spelled KataraRhythm, .wordpress.com. The show is also brought to you by Rich Tycoon's all-original AO brand. You may have seen him wearing it on his latest CD, Chapter 34. He has on a pullover hooded sweatshirt with the pronounced letters AO capitalized in bold. The hooded sweatshirts come in a variety of colors. He also has a zippered style with a hooded and the same old original lettering across the chest, displaying the big AO for you. You can go to his site at http://blackbusiness.net. That's BlackBizness.net for the full details. I got mine. Order yours today. Meanwhile, we'll take another song break here and come back afterwards with another guest. We're going to slow it down and play a beautiful song with Tamia performing the vocals. Here is You Put a Move on My Heart from Q's Juke Joint.
Baby, I just want you to understand just exactly how you make me feel.
You and I were meant to be. Oh, love. Here we go. Everything we put on
all right, all right, all right. Brother Ken, we are going to bring on a young entrepreneur that has established himself and his business in this community as a place to go, to be, and get your hair cut while there. Let's bring on Ken Walker of Headliners Barbershop in San Mateo. Ken, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
All right, pretty good, pretty good. Well, let's get started. What is it about San Mateo that is unique since you were born and raised there?
Unique, huh? San Mateo, I always thought San Mateo because it was in the middle of all the major cities, San Jose, East Bay, San Francisco. It kind of was a place that was kind of like an untouched market as far as, you know, as far as barbershops and the barber culture. So it was just something that I got into at a young age, cutting hair in San Mateo. It's always been a nice city. It's always been very, very diverse. And, you know, that's always been unique to me about it. And that's why I wanted my business to be in San Mateo when I started.
Okay, all right. You say your cousins and fathers were barbers, and you started cutting hair at the age of 12 to 13. How long did it take for your friends to start trusting you to cut their hair?
It definitely was trial and error. I messed the heads up several times before I pretty much got it down packed. But you know, it took me 2 years to kind of get the basics and to kind of get the understanding of it. You know, when I started cutting hair, there wasn't all these different type of guides like YouTube and, you know, video. It wasn't these type of videos or instructional tapes to help you. So I pretty much just had to get the clippers and just go to work. And just, you know, if I messed it up, I had to learn from my mistakes and make it right the next time. So it took me about a year or two to start doing decent cut. But I had a good group of friends that stuck with me and that let me practice on their head when I first started. And after a while, it just started, you know, start coming together.
Well, evidently your grandmother loves it because she's the one that helped you set up your first little shop on which was on her porch. Can you tell us about that?
That's where everything started. You know, my grandma, even though she didn't like all the traffic and all the people on the porch, she still seen the potential, I guess, and she she out of the kindness of her heart, she said, you know what, take the porch, just make sure it's clean before you come in this house. When the street lights come on, when you're done cutting, just make sure everything's back in place. You know, so she helped me out. She went and bought some chairs and some benches, and she put them on that porch. And I there right then was the birth of the barber. And to when it, you know, that was the start of everything. So I used to have that porch full of people, everybody in my neighborhood, and then it just turned into something. It changed my life, really. It got me out the streets. You know, I lived on a street that was supposedly the dangerous in San Mateo at the time, and it got me out of a lot of that street stuff. And then I was able to help other people that wanted to get involved in the barber business.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a lot to my grandmother.
Yeah. You never did work for nobody else. You just sort of moved from amateurish to sitting up on the porch doing your thing. Is that right?
Well, you know what? I had a couple of couple of odd jobs here and there, where I had to work for people. Yeah, you know, I started at 12, but as I got older, when I started getting 15 and 16, you know, I liked cutting hair, but I didn't know if it was going to be my career at the time. Even though I did it on the side just to make money, $5 a cut, a couple dollars here and there, I didn't know if it was going to be my career. So I tried a couple of odd jobs, but I just didn't work well working for other people, and it just didn't work well. I didn't work well, you know, on schedule. I always liked, as a young kid, I liked making my own schedule. So I got serious cutting hair at the age of 17. That's when I said, this is what I'm going to do, and I've been doing it ever since. I started at 12. I did it all the way to 17, but at 17 is when I said, you know what, I'm not doing nothing else. So I went to look forward to get my license, and it worked.
Okay. Well, now that your shop has been open for 5 years, I believe, what are your goals and plans for your business?
You know what, hopefully soon I could maybe open up a couple more places. You know, I really didn't cut no hair in other areas, so I don't really know what the market for the, you know, barbering's out. I'm another place, but I definitely want to, you know, open up a shop. Or my main goal, I wanted to hook up with like a big time company, which I had a couple already that I've been talking with, and just I want to make the Headliners Barbershop a household name. I want to franchise it. I want to make it like a super cut, but with real barbers, you know, real good barbers. You see what I'm saying? So. That's my goal as far as that, and then I want to cater to a lot of the basketball players, because I see a lot of the basketball players on TV, and heads be looking. Sometimes they look good, sometimes they be looking whooped. So you know, we want to make sure these guys look good on TV. You know what I mean? So you know.
Okay. All right. Well, how many chairs do you have in your barbershop?
Excuse me?
How many chairs do you have in your barbershop?
Kids. Well, we have kids all the time coming by. You know, I try to make my barbershop a sports thing where you can, you know, sit back, watch a game or two, or you know. So, but in San Mateo, I grew up growing up. I build relationships with a lot of parents, and I've dealt with a lot of the kids in the inner city that I grew up in, that same inner city. So a lot of the kids know me. You know, the kids are older now. All the kids know when I was cutting back in the day. They was, you know, real young. Now they in high school. So I pretty much watched a whole lot of kids grow up from 5 years old all the way up to 18, 19, 20 years old. Crazy to see that they still around, they still come by the shop, still get cut. I watch all the kids in San Mateo pretty much grow up into young adults.
I understand you have a multiracial staff of barbers. Is that there more to that idea other than an attempt to service the community?
Well, I just like to cater to everybody, you know. It's not just like to have multiracial barbers. I got multiracial barbers that do women's hair. I got multiracial barbers that strictly do designs. I got multiracial barbers that strictly know. I got barbers for every category or service, I should say, when it comes to cutting hair. You know, but I always wanted a shop where I have a different ethnic in there of all different ethnics. So that's been my focus since I wanted to open the shop. I want to have every different ethnicity in there. Mm-hmm. We all come together. We all together. We all working together. And so right now, that's took a while. It took a while to get that, because you kind of, you know, but it's there now. So.
Good. Sort of widened your customer base, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Very much so. It definitely widened the company base. You know, a lot of the shops are predominantly. A lot of people think that the shops are African-American shops, so we go to the African-American barbershops, you know, but I'm trying to change that to where it's a multi-cultural barbershop. I want everybody coming there to feel comfortable, and everybody coming there to feel like they can get a good cut, don't matter who they go to. So that was my main focus.
Okay, all right. Is it strictly a barbershop where guys can relax and have a good time while getting their hair groomed?
Yeah, it's definitely a barbershop where you can, you know, relax and watch the TV. You know, when I was growing up, the barbershop was a place where you can come in and talk about your problems, talk about whatever's going on in your life, and we all sit back and laugh, and, you know, and we all sit back and joke. But, you know, years ago, before all of us was born, barbers were more than just barbers. They were more like, They were more like mentors, you know. They were more like people used to come tell the barbers their problem, and the barber, you know, try to relate to them as much as possible. But that's what I want to come back. I don't want just to be a haircut where you come in, get your haircut, and leave. You know, in that 20, 30 minutes of getting a haircut, you would want to establish some type of rapport with the client, a new client probably, or, you know, or your client. You want to keep the conversation going. I see a lot of guys nowadays, they got their earphones on while they're cutting the client's hair. That doesn't make sense to me, you know. You don't want to have your earphones on because you're pretty much tuning out the client. You know, the client just don't pay you for the services. He pay you for your conversation. He's paying you for just the whole experience of meeting a good barber, a good guy, or a female, good female that cuts hair, females that cut hair too, you know what I mean? And you know, it's a relationship being built. And just like I tell my barbers, the barbershop is a hub for resources. You meet so many different people in so many different walks of life, and you never know how they can help you. You know what I'm saying? If you ever want to move up and move to something, everything I've ever, you know, gotten or achieved, it's all from somebody, a client of mine that I met that was able to help me further what I was trying to do in life, period. So you want to talk to your clients, and you want to associate with them, and you want to learn from them if you can, or, you know, and you want to, that's what the barbershop is about. It's about the amount of resources that come in there and what you're able to achieve through the clients too. So that's huge. Anything I ever needed, chairs, anything, I always found somebody in the shop that was available to get them for me, maybe at a cheaper rate or nicer chair or anything. So all the resources are right there in the business. But you have to, you know, you have to be open-minded enough to talk to your clients and deal with your clients, not just on a business level, but out of the shop on a personal level. You know, I have many of my friends in my circle right now are clients that I've been cutting for 10, 15 years. I deal with on a daily basis. So that's definitely a way to go.
That's it. That's the keeper there. Well, we're going to take another musical break and let you catch your breath here for about 5 minutes. And because I think we sort of caught you when you, okay. So anyway, we're going to give you a 5 minute break here and play a little music. So just bear with me and then come back with me, okay?
No problem, bro. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to hang up the phone, but just hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on. No problem.
All right, audience. We're going to play another cut from Q's Juke Joint CD. It's called Stuff Like That. You will hear the sounds of Charlie Wilson, Ray Charles, Brandy, Chaka Khan, and Ashford and Simpson. So enjoy this romp from the past. Here it is.
Hello?
Like that. Stuff like that.
Thank you.
stuff like that from Q's Juke Joint. Well, you still with us, Ken?
Yeah, I'm still here with you.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of our favorite subjects. How did you get interested in the Black Box Barber Caddy?
You said black what?
The Black Box Barber Caddy. How did you get interested in that?
You know what? My dad used to cut hair. My cousin used to cut hair. It was just something that was in the family as a young kid. And I was tired of my dad messing me up. He got older in age, and the cuts wasn't the same that they used to be. So I pretty much, you know, just whatever I seen him do, I just kind of started doing it on myself first.
Mm-hmm.
So I started practicing on myself before I started practicing on people on the street. I wanted my cut to be right. So pretty much that's when, you know what, initially what really got me interested in cutting hair is I used to take my equipment apart. I used to take it all apart, and I used to figure out what made them better, what made the clippers sharper to get a sharper line. I used to figure that out. I used to sit there, and I spend hours taking these clippers apart. And then once I put it back together, I go use them on a client, you know, my friends at the time, and I would see the difference in the haircut. That's one of the main things that made me more interested, because now I've seen how to get these cuts, like the cuts on TV and the cuts on the shows. Now I've seen how to do it. So, you know, my father and my cousins, they definitely, there was an interest there. You know, when they started to slack off on as far as making my cut nice, then the interest grew, because now I start cutting myself. And, you know, those are some of the things that have pretty much sparked it. I always say the best barbers are the barbers that started cutting on their porch or on their street or in their house. To me, those are the best barbers. There's some barbers that go to school, and that's fine. I'm not knocking that at all, but to me, the best barbers I've seen are the ones that just pick the clippers up and start doing it at their house or on their street. Those are the best barbers to me.
I know you've met Sam Enan from Bobson. And I think he introduced you to this, the Big Black Box Barber Caddy. So how did you, you know, how did that come about? Where did you meet him? I mean, he lives in the same city you do. So how did that come about?
You know what? I was cutting at a shop. It was a salon. It was really a salon. I was cutting at a salon, and he used to deliver products to the lady at the salon. And then that's where I met Sam at. He used to always tell me, try this on your clients, try this on your clients. And I always liked Sam. He always had a good vibe from Sam. He's a good person. Kind of why, kind of was kind of like a mentor, because he was older and he was real sophisticated. And he could tell he was real intelligent. So he was a good person to be drawn to. And when he introduced me to the Black Box, I was in the middle of trying to get my retail, you know, at a bigger level. And he just made it easy for me. He said, we can get your retail up and put everything in this box like a vending machine. And we can, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to worry about the inventory or count the inventory after every night. It's just more feasible, it was just more convenient for me. As far as I don't have to pay too much attention to it. All we got to do is reload it up. And all we got to do is just, you know, and that was it. So that was actually extremely, extremely, extremely clever idea. Very well put together. And I think that's going to take the nation by storm. I definitely want to be a part of that. That's something that definitely going to make a difference. Definitely make a difference.
Right, right. Excuse me. And you are a distributor too, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So how do you plan on marketing the unit, or do you like, hold on a minute. Boy, excuse me, people. How do you plan on marketing the unit, or do you like to, or do you think maybe just taking it easy and seeing how your customers react to it when you get one in your shop, or You just know that it, well, we all know this. It's a great idea. He has a vast selection in there, and on top of that, he has advertisement on top of the box itself. So it's kind of an attractive accoutrement in your shop, so to speak. So how do you plan on marketing as a distributor?
Well, you know what? I have a pretty big following. They come to my
mm-hmm.
shop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ways of marketing. I still feel
mm-hmm.
like the best way of marketing is word of mouth, even though they got
yeah.
all the social media. So
mm-hmm.
I'm definitely gonna try a different couple ways. Social media, I'm definitely gonna market it. I got
mm-hmm.
a couple friends and I got a couple friends that are pretty much in high places that I, you know, that specialize in marketing. So I'm definitely
mm-hmm.
gonna you know, use those resources
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, like I said, it's word of mouth is the best way to market. I want everybody to hear about it. I want people to talk about it. You know, it's different if you're looking
mm-hmm.
on a page on your social media. If you're looking at a page, it may look nice, but when somebody's actually
mm-hmm.
telling you, then that's the better way. So, right now, word of mouth. Everything's gonna be word of mouth. You come to the shop, check it out, look at it, and then you know, and that's the way. I think right now that's the best way for me to go about it.
Okay, all right. Sound like you have a plan there.
always, yeah.
True, it's not gonna go away. So it's only gonna increase. You can count on that.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's see. Ken, you're 35 years old with two daughters. One is 6 years old, and what is her name?
Kendall. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dina.
Oh, okay. And the younger one.
My youngest one
is
Kendall.
Oh,
yeah, her
okay.
name is Kendall.
Oh, so how much fun and hectic is your household with the mother and girls?
Oh, wow. It's hectic every day. Every day, full-time job when I get home. So you know, I got to pay attention. I got to give them just as much attention as same amount of attention I give my, you know, I got other businesses going on as well. So even when I leave work, I go home. I'm still working on other businesses, and sometimes I got to put that
mm-hmm.
aside
mm-hmm.
to deal with my kids. My youngest, she requires so much attention. She's just about starting to get up and walk, standing up. So she's into everything. Anything that she's never seen before, she's trying to get to. So I gotta kind of, you know, fluctuate time, but my life is a 24-hour drive right now.
Mm. Okay, all right. Well, I wish you a lot of luck, and I'm glad you were able to come on the show and tell us about your business as well as the Black Box Barber Caddy that you're getting into. And you have impressed me as a very good entrepreneur out there to actually take care of business.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Just promise to come back when you make your first big, you know. So anyway,
okay.
let me stop dreaming. But anyway, I really enjoyed you, Walker, and come back and see us sometime. We'll try to catch up with you next year for a progress report. Okay.
I'll definitely be ready for that. Thank you very much, Curtis, and I'll definitely try to get to you guys as soon as possible.
All right. You take it easy now.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye. All right. Speaking of the Big Black Barber Caddy, our show is also brought to you by BOPSA, which stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Their mission, connecting the black dots. Check out the details of BOPSA's founder, Sam Enan, latest concept, which we were just talking about, the Black Box Barber Caddies for Men. And entrepreneurs can get the full details on how to become an investor, a distributor, salesperson, or wholesaler of the Big Black Box Caddy trio of machines. Specifically, the Black Box Barber Caddy with men's hair care products. There's the Black Box Beauty Supply with women hair care products, and the Black Box Natural Products, which addresses the natural black hairstyles that are becoming more popular today. The Black Box Trio are vending machines that will expand your income potential and serve your customer base. Think inside the box. Go to www.bobsa.org for complete details. Or visit www.theblackboxbarbercaddy.com or simply call Sam Enan at 650-863-3491. Tell him Hamp sent you. All right. We're going to, obviously, we like this music, so we're going to rock a while with this cut from Q's Juke Joint. Here is Stomp. It's that old Brothers Johnson's written and released cut. This one, in addition to the cast of the play Stomp at the time, has another host of greats joining in. Just listen to Stomp yourself, and you tell me who's on there.
Step down with it, put your feet where you feel it. Stomp, you don't want to quit, put your heel where you feel it. Stomp. It's like one to the two, went straight to the ten. Turn up the sound, cause the cue's back again when a whole new set. Here to make it sweat, but on your stomping boots to fuel up your jet, son. Call out Ron George, both your dudes, just tell them you got the funk to make your move that move, y'all. Should I say that body? Welcome to the party. A little something, something for each and everybody. Get the studio dope, representing West Coast. So raise up a toast, Mr. Jones is your host. From the top to the bottom and the back to the front. Everybody on the side, don't slip it and slide. Let's go.
Yo, damn it, bet you can't stand it, track that slamming. Catch the vibe from the west side, the one and only Bonnie without pride. I'm stomping through your town and your hood, up your block, giving props to hip hop, cause it don't stop. Stomping with the hops in the back of the trunk, cause all that funk makes me wanna blow.
Stomp in the mountains, in the valley, in the back streets, in the alley.
Stomp for the rhythm, the streams, the wishes and dreams, what up with it means, everybody just stomp.
Oh,
jumping. All right. Yes, yes. Did you hear Uncle Charlie Wilson and a girl Chucka Khan in there? Anyway, that's Stump from Q's Juke Joint CD. I want to once again thank our guest, Mr. Jasper Smith, for giving us great insight and explaining the concept of financial planning and why is it so important to us. And to our young entrepreneur who let us know that there are a lot of young folks out there not just trying to get along where they can, but opening a business and putting in the work it requires in running the same. They are truly showing us our future is in good hands. Thanks again, Ken Walker. You're a keeper. For our last song of the day from Quincy Jones' Juke Joint CD, we're going to play a slow song. In fact, the cut is entitled Slow Jams. SWV, Portrait, our man Babyface, and the late, great Barry White. Here's a classic from Q's Juke Joint called Slow Jam.
Sometimes when I'm just laying down with my man, I get the feeling I want to hear some Bobby White.
Show you right.
See, when I'm with my man, I need something sexual.
Oh, man.
For real, though, y'all. That's going to really start hitting.
And what about some Teddy Pendergrass?
Baby, baby,
hope he could get some Barry White.
Yes, baby. That's right. Just let me play.
Oh, yeah.
Get on out of here. I see the clock on the wall tells us it's time to go. We've had a ball today. What can I tell you? I've sure enough enjoyed myself. So, as always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Once again, we're having so much fun, we went into overtime. But then a little overtime, depending upon what you're working with, is never a bad thing. Just so you and the audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to ask our guests or myself a question. But we tend to have such a good time up there playing music and chatting with our guests, we just sort of let the chat room go. Don't let that stop you. You still make your calls and we'll click you in. Since we always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists, let us know your favorite, and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Please, join us again for a special broadcast on Sunday, June 28th. It will still be at our 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Only this time, we're going to check in on a family reunion being held in St. Louis, Missouri. It's the Childs, the Davis, the Green, the Preston, and Beeman getting together to celebrate family. Join us for fun, and family on June 28th at 1 p.m. And I should say, Hamptons are part of that tree as well. Details of our guests and other specifics will be available on our website, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other social media. If you can't join us while we're live, you can always tune in to our website and listen to our show at your leisure. That's the beauty of this thing. But now, peace, and thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night, and take it easy.